Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Like those who Moses led out of Egypt, this life is our 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And I don't think I have to tell you how hard and how harsh this life can be. Let's face it, life is tough. Sins often overtake us, and sadness often almost breaks us. And so in many respects, those dangerous and desolate parts of the world that we call the desert serve as an appropriate metaphor for all of life. For like the scorching heat and like the blistering sands of the desert, we know that life can be very unforgiving. The Israelites who made that exodus out of Egypt soon grew hungry and thirsty while they wandered around in that desert. As a result of their hunger and thirst, they became quickly impatient with God, and they even considered returning to their former way of life as slaves in Egypt, including the worship of idols. As we all know, this displeased the Lord very much, who did not leave them for very long without food or drink, only long enough to test the sincerity of their faith. And yet, some failed the test. Some who had participated in the Exodus turned away from God during that 40-year sojourn in the desert, and they died in the wilderness without ever reaching the land that God had intended them to reach, because they stopped believing in God. They stopped trusting in God. They stopped relying on His promises. The Bible warns us not to become like them by neglecting our faith or by indulging in a life of sin. Those believers who fell away from God in the past were meant to serve as a divine warning for us to keep the same thing from ever happening to us. No matter how difficult this life gets for you, God does not want you to give up on Him and turn back to the modern idols of our day. Otherwise, you will never realize, you will never reach the land that God has promised. Now, like our believing ancestors who were tempted out there in the desert, as modern Christians, we find ourselves tempted in every direction, except for that path that God has marked out for us. In our godless age, let's face it, we're tempted to an insatiable pride. In our materialistic age, we are tempted to excessive greed. In our sexually promiscuous age, we are tempted to shameful lust. In our violent age, we are tempted to malicious intent to hurt others. In our secular age, we are tempted to horrendous doubts, doubts even as to God's existence. And in our nihilistic age, we are tempted to total despair. What that means is we're tempted to give up on God. And worse yet, we are tempted to believe that God has given up on us. We find that our faith is constantly being tempted as we journey through this life. We're tempted to fall away from the faith. We're tempted to doubt God's enduring love for us in Christ. And that's why, my friends, we need to be in this church every Sunday, and we need to be in God's Word every day. For God's word is the only place where we can receive encouragement from God. The word that we read together, the word that we read on our own, is where we find strength and where we find joy for the journey. Once appreciative to God for having rescued them from their oppressors, you know, when God parted the Red Sea, soon those very same people who God had just saved began to grumble against God, and they began to stumble on his words. They complained against God because of a lack of food and water. At the first sign of trouble, they acted like God had abandoned them. Now, as we hear their story, don't we sometimes wonder, how could these dummies forget? How could they forget so quickly all that God had done for them? And then I'm caught when I think that. I say, wait a minute. I'm not really any different. God miraculously has rescued you and me from sin and death. He's delivered us through the saving waters of baptism that connect us to Christ. And yet, even though you and I enjoy so many earthly and spiritual blessings, whenever life gets tough, doesn't our tune begin to change just a bit? Don't we grumble? Don't we murmur and complain against God when life seems to go wrong? Aren't you and I tempted to suspect God, to be suspicious that maybe he does not have our best interest in mind whenever we run up against trouble or misfortune or death? This grumbling happened to the Israelites when they ran out of food and water. But for us, the temptation is to lose hope and to turn away from God as often as you and I run out of the assurance of God's love and of Christ's forgiveness. As we journey through this life, this journey is difficult, it's arduous, and it requires faith. That's why God tells us in the Bible, you must walk through this life by faith and not by sight. Otherwise, you will find yourself grumbling against God. Our hunger is not for bread, and our thirst is not for water. But in this hard life of sin, we hunger for God's grace. We thirst for Christ's forgiveness. In a life where the dangers of sin and Satan are daily, they're commonplace, they're everywhere. As we journey through life, we soon discover that faith isn't going to survive very long unless we are fed on the constant assurance that we have God's love, that we have security eternally in Christ. And this is where today we take up our text, Isaiah 43. Here's what the Lord says to all of us. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, for see, I am doing a new thing. Formerly, some of us believed, as we're often tempted to do, that heaven is the reward for the good that we do for God in this life. But all that we do when we hold to that belief is to weary and burden our God. Nothing burdens God more than when he sees you and I attempt to justify ourselves. after sending his son to suffer so much for you and I on the cross to set us free from sin, it's just insulting to God. It's just dishonoring to Christ if we try to justify ourselves instead of fully relying on his sacrifice. Because if we can justify ourselves by living a good life, then we have just told God that Christ's death means nothing. You and I will only finish this journey. We will only reach our destination if we focus on what God has done for us on the cross instead of what God once demanded of us from the law. That is the new thing that God is doing. This new thing is that God is revealing a new way that you and I can stand before God, even though we're sinners, holy and unashamed and supremely confident of God's love and acceptance of us. What we could never have accomplished or done for ourselves, because we can't honor God by keeping his law, Christ has done for us. Christ stepped forward, and in our place, he has done a new thing. On the cross, Christ bore our sins, those sins that in the past so wearied and offended and burdened our God. But by living a perfect life in our place and then stepping up and dying for the multitude of our sins, Christ has secured God's love for us, God's approval over us. And so you know what we've learned today? We have learned that God can and does forgive and forget. Christ's death is what makes it possible for God, in his mind, to put our past completely behind him, so that this God who knows everything and forgets nothing somehow is able to expunge our sins from his memory. But sometimes we are the ones who can't get past the past. Either we can't get beyond the sins that we have committed because we have offended our own conscience, or else we can't get past the sins that others have committed against us because their offenses seem too great in our minds. But following the example of how God deals with our sins, God would remind you and me, saying, "Do not dwell on the past." We should not remember what our God has forgotten. So let go of that guilt that you feel over your past sins. For Christ has forgiven you. Let go of the anger and animosity you have felt so long toward others and forgive them as God has forgiven you. Do not dwell on the past. The past will only slow down your journey of faith. It will even stop its progress entirely if you insist on holding on to those ugly memories in the past. Part of what makes life so hard is that those sins that we commit and those sins that others commit against us make us weary. They weigh us down. But don't you remember when you were a kid? You didn't have a care in the world. There was no weight on your shoulders. You were carefree. You were lighthearted. It was all about having fun. Well, as a child of God, God wants you to feel and experience that again. He wants to lift the weight of the world off your shoulders, and to do this, God would have his son carry to the cross the full weight of our sins and everything that burdens us would fall on his shoulders. And so if you came here today wearied by your life, you need to hear God speaking to you. You need to hear God addressing you in these words. Hear God speak directly to you, for he says, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland for you. Even when you and I cannot conceive any way out of our problems, God is telling you that there is a way. God is telling you that he is making a way through life for you. If God can make water spring up and bubble in the driest of deserts, God is saying he can deliver you from those things that burden you. God didn't do this to show off his power, but God only exercises his power out of love for you and I, his people, to benefit us. The Lord says, I provide water in the desert of life, water for my people to drink, water for those I have formed for myself. Now, we are not like God. And so, no matter how much we love others, sometimes we can grow weary and we can wear out if people call upon us too often to help them. We can feel overburdened when anyone, even our spouse, becomes too dependent upon us. But with God, it's different. God is only wearied and burdened when we do not call upon him, when we do not look to him, when we do not lean on him and pray to him. God says to his people, I can make a way for you in the desert. I can make water spring up before you. But you have not called on me. God wants to remind us that he's not burdened by our prayers or our pleas for his help. God invites us to turn to him when life makes us weary. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. You know why we don't pray more? Because as sinners, you and I have trouble comprehending this fact that God is on our side because of Christ. He is. This is the God who forgives you. This is the God who saves you. This is the God who delights in providing for you. This is the God who loves to help you. The Lord is only burdened when we turn away from him to substitute gods, things that can't really help us. From our limited perspective in life, life is often filled with disappointment. Life can be discouraging at times as we seem to run up against obstacle and impossible obstacle, and often in rapid succession. And in that way, I suppose life has a way of saying no to us. And yet, every promise that God makes to you is yes in Christ. When it comes to your forgiveness, when it comes to your salvation, God will never say no to you. For God's love always finds a way to make everything work out all right, including even the timing of our own death. He has a way of turning everything to our eternal good. Someone has said that the main purpose of psychology today is to attempt to keep people's past from catching up to them and killing them. In psychotherapy, people are constantly being told to let go of past guilt, the guilt they feel towards themselves and the anger they feel towards others. And so in some ways, the message of our text for today from Isaiah 43, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past, That's not unique to Christianity. I mean, secular counselors employ that technique all the time. What is unique to Christianity is our basis for being able to say that to others, that they can forgive themselves and forget their grievances towards others. We can say it because we can truly forgive what God forgets. And we can truly forget what God forgives. The blood of Christ so completely washes away our sins that even the memory of sin is no more. And so, at least for us Christians, forgetting the past is more than some kind of gimmick, some kind of therapeutic technique to keep us from sort of emotionally imploding on ourselves. But for us, forgetting sin and putting the past behind us is just the way that forgiven people in Christ live. It is the joyful path that we take because it is the path our Lord took. And it is the way that we will make it through this life on our way to heaven. For we do not make this journey by ourselves. Instead, we live in Christ and we die in Christ. That's how we make it through this life. And that's how we will make it to heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds unwearied and unburdened by sin, that you might look to the future instead of the past. Amen.